Welcome to the Subscribe to Change recording of the online ACMC Revisited training, teaching you the art of meta-coaching.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how about you?
Not bad, thank you.
Good. So you are the only one who registered for the call today.
Oh.
So it looks like it's just going to be us.
Awesome.
That's what I was thinking. So today's call is about sales and marketing. So we can talk about that, but because it's just you and me, we can really talk about anything.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
So what would be really valuable for you to go over or discuss?
WFO is my number one priority right now. That's something I'd really like to master.
Okay.
I feel away from ACMC that was really foundation, and to get that to be better at coaching.
Okay. So with regards to the well-formed outcome, where do you feel you're at right now?
Well, last night I had a practice coaching session with one of my peers who also did ACMC with me, and we try to catch up at once a fortnight. And so I coached him on, we ran the genius pattern. And so what I used part of the WFO to try and establish what exactly he wanted to work on. And I found myself asking quite a few specific questions, which in the coaching room we call the finger martial arts questions. Exactly what or who specifically, what if I do, what if I don't, who says, and all and ever. And because I was constantly trying to nail him down to commit to one specific thing. Something I've always struggled with him. He's all over the place, and it's really hard to get him to focus on one thing. And for the first 5 minutes of the conversation, I did the acknowledgement. So I heard you say this, and this. So is that, what specifically is it that you'd like to talk about? And what is it about that enables you to, he said something about, I want sort of like a sense of purpose. And I said, well, what kind of state would you know want to bring on that would really help you create the sense of purpose for others? And so I really focused on, and it felt good, like we actually identified a specific state of excellence for him. And that's something that I had not been able to do with him before, being able to specifically define something. That felt great. But then the rest of it was, I kind of lost him a little bit as I was running the pattern, because he then again started about other things or come off a tangent. And I found it more difficult to bring him, because I was trying to follow the pattern, you know, what questions came next.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from you is that you were running a pattern, and before the pattern you were going through some of the well-formed outcome questions, and I'm hearing like mainly some of the first few questions about a context of where in terms of location, in terms of time, and really getting into the VAK and making it specific.
Yes.
So it sounds like you're really learning to do that and to really stick with that.
Yeah, well, that was the first time
Okay.
that I felt like, hey, And I didn't really realize, or it didn't really click for me until the end of the coaching session. I thought, hey, I actually got him to define something specifically, and we moved along. And so that felt good. I hadn't done that before. But I guess my thing is, I don't know whether I could repeat it, because I didn't feel consciously aware that I knew exactly what I was doing and how to do it.
Okay.
It kind of felt like I knew in my head, okay, I need to define something. I need to get him to define something. That was going through my head. But in terms of an actual specific strategy or what sort of questions I should use, they all kind of just came up. It wasn't like they were in my head. And so I don't know whether I'd be able to do it a second time. And I don't know whether that's me discounting myself. I have a major driving program for discounting. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's good. Because I guess that's good that you catch yourself on that.
Yeah, I somebody helped me identify that pattern, and I've been on it. Like, I have a counting logbook, and every night I have to write down everything, you know, that I achieved, that went well, that, you know, even if it's a conversation, a connection, a compliment received or given, and anything. So I make myself count.
Okay, great. And so did you also hear yourself say that you actually knew that you had to get something specific from him? So it sounds like you had an intention with the questions that you were asking, and that might it be that because you had that intention that the questions came?
And I know that the what is the biggest hurdle for me, so I knew I have to get something specific. But I think the thing that I have doubts about is, because I remember from ACMC, I was picked up on it. When I thought I had specific, I didn't. It wasn't specific enough. And then I got confusion as to, well, how do I know when I'd reach that point that it's specific? And with Genius State, it was kind of easy because, you know, you're identifying a state of excellence. So, you know, with phenomenal courage or, you know, joyful something, I can't remember what it was, but that's kind of easy for me to identify. I know that's, you know, what a genius state is and what it looks like. But when I'm having a general coaching conversation about getting someone to identify something they want to work on, I'm not always 100% sure whether I've gotten it specific enough to be able to drill down with a WFO. And then I get caught out when I drill down with a WFO, I realize, no, we haven't quite got it, because, and then I realize that I haven't, and I've got to go back. And so it's that I'd really like to know. How do I know when something's, you know, okay, that's it. That's really specific that we can work with.
Okay. So I can speak to that a little bit. And then you also mentioned something else, that you, once you had gone through those questions, then you went with your client through the pattern, and then you kind of got lost because he went off on a tangent.
Yeah, and then, you know, I would look at my manual and see what the next question was, but it didn't make sense to ask it because he was in such a different, because he'd gone off a tangent, he wasn't in that zone of, you know, what his intention was anymore, or, you know, because I had to then ask him, you know, how much are you feeling that right now? And I thought, well, I can't ask that now because, you know, he's gone off a tangent and is on this subject. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe I have to go back again. And then I thought about, how did I let myself go off track like that? What should I have done to stop him from going in that direction?
Okay, so let's talk to both of those things today. The first is with the well-formed outcome question, how do you know when it's specific enough? And then also, when someone does go off on a tangent, what do you do?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay,
yeah,
so
that would be great.
So with the well-formed outcome, when I do the trainings, one of the things I always share, and I keep repeating that with people, is that I always have in my mind a kind of a map of the present state and the desired state. And so you're familiar with the SCORE model?
It sounds familiar, but I can't remember it.
Okay. So with the SCORE model, you have, you start out with the S for symptoms. So a lot of the time, that's what your client comes with. They'll start, even when you say, what is it that you want, they'll start explaining well. And then they start sharing the symptoms of their problem. And so that can be about other people, but it's the results that they're stuck with. And so then what we want to figure out is the cause. And so that's the C of the SCORE model. And so that's the present state is comprised of what are the symptoms, and then also what is the cause. And so the cause is why we ask meta questions, because that allows us to get, okay, what is this really about? And that allows us to really get into the things that are behind it. So I have that in the back of my mind. I have, like, on the left hand side, I have a picture of a desired state, but it's empty, or of a present state. So it's empty. It's just a template. And then on the right, I have the outcome and the effect that someone wants to achieve, which is the desired state. So I have my present state and my desired state, and in between there's a gap. And so those are the resources, your steps and stages that are in between your present state and your desired state.
Yep.
And so when I start out with the well-formed outcome, you obviously start out with the what, which is the desired state. A lot of the time your client will start with the present state, and that's really and that really doesn't matter, because it'll still let you know in what context and where specifically. And so I really want to ground it. And grounding it means that I am able to see it in a situation. So I can visualize. So if, for example, my client says, well, I had a client recently, and she started out with, well, my confidence is really low when it comes to selling. And so then I still don't know anything. And so then, you know, I asked her, you know, what specifically do you mean with confidence? What does that feel like? What does that look like? And so I want to know also when specifically that happens. And we nailed it down to one specific moment. So the moment that someone asks her about, okay, so what is the price of your coaching program? That's when something happens in the back of her mind. And the end result, the symptom, she calls low confidence, low self-confidence. And so what I hold in the back of my mind is being able to see, okay, so this person, or here, so this person says this, and then I need to tell myself that I'm not good enough, that I'm never going to be good enough, and so I'm not allowed to charge any money because I would be a fraud, something like that. So
yep.
I kind of like start mapping out that strategy. And depending on whether my client starts with present state or desired state, I really nail it down to, okay, when specifically. And so I always take one specific context or one specific situation. So if they start with a present state, I ask, so when did this happen last? So tell me about that moment. And then I just start asking questions about that. And as long as I do not have a movie, it's not specific enough.
Okay.
So that for me, and what's really critical in that as well is that I need to be able to be really blank. So I can say, oh, yeah, I know what low confidence is. I know what that looks like. But then it's my map. And so I want to be really clean, and I don't know anything. And from that place of knowing nothing, I want to start filling in the gaps. So I'm always listening for those big words like, self-confidence or conversation or communication. Those nominalizations, I do not know what they look like or what the process is of that. And so that's what I ask of my client. What does that look like? Or what does it feel like inside? What do you say to yourself? And so I start building like a visual, a movie in my mind of what's going on. And then I do the same for the desired state. And then then I know the steps and stages in between, or I can ask about the steps and stages then. So once I know that, then you've basically gone through the first six questions of your well-formed outcome. You've gone through the what, you've gone through the why,
yep.
The VAK,
yes.
Where, when, and with whom. And so then you can ask,
yep.
Okay, so this is what you want. This is where you're at right now. So in the case of the example, so if someone asks you, what is the price of your coaching program? Where you're at right now is that you start thinking in your mind, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm a fraud. That's where you go right now. And your self-esteem goes, or your self-confidence goes to a level 3, and where you'd like it to be is at a level 7, and you would like to be able to, when that question comes, to consistently keep it at a 7 or at an 8 and state your price. So, and then I ask, can you do that right now? No. Okay. Do you know what you need to do to get there? So then I've arrived at step 7 or question 7, and then I can like start checking all of those things off.
Yep.
So in terms of specific enough, you really want to be able to see that movie.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think where I got stuck is that, like you said, when you ask people for what they want, they start with, normalizations, like I've got self-confidence, and they start explaining the symptoms of their problem. And then that's where I got stuck, because then I think, well, what do I do with that? Because I haven't got, the desired state. So then I got lost in their present state, and I wasn't getting to something specific for what they want to achieve. I was stuck in the present state.
Yeah.
And I would with a present state.
Yeah, and so the present state is, in that sense, is really okay to start with. What you want is to ask exploring questions so that you can see the movie, okay, what specifically happens and when. And so grounding it in a specific moment. So when did you have that last? In what context do you want to change this? And a lot of the time, you know, your client will say, well, everywhere. Okay, so give me an example of where you would like to change that, so that you really can ground it and lock it down. So, and especially if you've got a client who thinks in big pictures, very globally, has a hard time getting down into the details, that's when you really have to stick with it. And that
that's
might
why
mean
I have
that,
problems with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you
he
really need
everywhere.
That permission. Okay. Yeah. And so the way to really quickly work around that is, okay, so you want that everywhere. Give me a specific example where you want that, so that we can work with that, and then we can bring it over to other situations.
Okay. Yeah. That
so that it's going to make your job so much easier.
Yeah. So when they're in a state, I ground, get it down to a moment so that I have a movie, and next to the desired state, do the same for the state, get it down to a very specific movie again.
Yeah. And so then you know the gap. And once you've done that, you also know either the trigger or what's missing. So that having it that specific is also going to help you with the evidence procedure, because that is something that they can't do right now. So if that's a planning conversation, for example, right now, they can't see the steps and stages in front of them in their mind, or they don't have a piece of paper where they have the steps and stages. So then you know at the end you will have that. Or if it's a change conversation right now, so in the case with the example that I gave, that would be a change conversation. Or it could be a clarity conversation about what's holding me back. But with the change conversation, then you already know the trigger. Someone letting me know, or someone asking me about the price. So before that, for her, this sense of low self-confidence was pervasive. And so because I asked her about a specific moment, she was like, oh, I didn't know it was only in that moment. Other than that, it's my self-confidence is just up at a 7. But that's when it dropped. So it helped her to kind of come to that realization, because in her mind it was everywhere and always. So those are distortions as well. So that's all or nothing thinking. And especially, like, it sounds like you really had a client who thinks in big pictures, possibly all or nothing. So then you really need to start making the distinctions. And then also, if your client is unable to do that, then that's something that you can give your client feedback on.
Okay.
So does that help?
Yeah, that helps heaps, especially when you pictured out, when you drew out the example of the present state is a blank template, and then the desired state, and then the gap in between, which is your resources, steps, and stages. That helps me a lot, being able to draw that. And I have a map then, and I need a visual in my head so that I know where I was going. And when I'm coaching, I don't have anything in my head. I feel like I'm just kind of wandering blindly. Except for, of course, I've got the questions written down to 18. But I just felt like I was just going through a list of 18 questions. It wasn't making any
sense.
Any sense.
Yeah. And
I was just reading out questions.
Exactly. And so what helps me is combining the score model with the well-formed outcome question so that I know I can start filling in the gaps and then I can start checking off, okay, so what is this conversation really about? What is it that we need to work on? If do you know how to do this? No. Okay, so that's what we need to work on. Do you have a plan? No. Okay, so that's what we need to work on. And it might be that they have several things that you need to work on, which then becomes part of a program. But that's really why you go down all of those steps and stages, is to figure out, okay, what specifically is the gap? And that becomes the leverage point. So, and making that visual really helps. Did you sign up for the free call that I did recently, the reaching PCMC level?
No, I think I was in Sydney. I think I was still in Sydney doing Master Prac.
Okay.
Let me just check.
I'm just curious because
no,
I made a video.
What was the video called?
It's reaching PCMC level.
Oh, I remember getting an email about that, yes.
Yeah, so that one might be valuable for you to watch because that's where I draw it out, what I kind of picture in my mind. So it's like it's a video audio of the call, and so the video really kind of draws out how I have drawn it out in my mind and explains it and also explains how it relates to the well-formed outcome and what meta programs come into play.
Okay. I've got the email, but I don't think I registered. Am I able to still?
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Okay, all right, that will be great.
I'll just send that out and then you'll be able to access that. That's going to, because then it's going to be visual for you as well. That'll help a lot.
Oh, that'd be, yeah. I'm a visual learner.
Yeah, and I think that's like, you know, like so many, what do they call it, mnemonic devices, or I don't know how you call it, but it's always, when you want to memorize something, it's always visual. Or a lot of the time it starts with visual and then you add your other senses. And so that's also what I can do, is like I can step into that movie and try it on, which also gives me a lot of information of, okay, I'm still missing something because it doesn't make sense for me yet.
Got it.
And that allows me to ask more questions.
Okay.
So this is where clarity questions under the skill of listening really comes in. So clarity questions allow you to, okay, when you speak of self-confidence, what do you mean specifically? So that you know what they're talking about. Because a lot of the time with those things, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I have low self-confidence. So that's why it's so important to really be a blank canvas, if you will, and not know anything. And that might take practice.
Yep.
Okay, so did that answer your first question?
Yeah, that's really helpful. I'm setting up new more coaching practices for this week. I've got one tomorrow morning, so I'm going to try that out.
Okay, great. Okay, and so with the next thing, when someone goes off on a tangent, that's when you have set a specific outcome with someone and you've come to an agreement, so that's what we're going to work on, and someone goes off on a tangent, then, like, what I do is I acknowledge, so what I'm hearing you say is da-da-da-da-da, and then I ask that question, how does this relate to the outcome? Because that's what we're working on, right? So I want to be able, I want to continuously hold my client to the outcome that we've set so that they don't go off on a tangent, but they actually say, okay, so this is the outcome that we've set. How does this relate? And especially with that's where taking the lead really comes in, and having permission to take the lead and to really kind of confront someone with where they're going, what they're doing, because someone might not be aware that that's what they're doing, and that might actually really stop them from getting things done if they are very options oriented or they like to kind of bring up other things. Might be a pattern of someone it might even be a pattern that someone has to not really deal with things. So they kind of like throw you for a loop or they go other directions. And so that's when it is a pattern, when someone does that three times and you've kind of said, you know, how does this relate to the outcome? Oh, it doesn't. Okay, so let's go back to the outcome. If someone does that three times, then you can give them that feedback. So you've done this three times now. Is this a pattern? Do you recognize this as a pattern?
That's good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you don't have to follow your clients everywhere.
Okay, so leading is okay to bring them back to track.
Yes. Well, it's not only okay, it's critical. Because what you do is you hold the space for your client and you keep your client focused on an agreed upon outcome. So, and especially in the beginning, your client may come with A, B, and C, and like they don't seem to be related at all. And so what I do is I do one big acknowledgement. So I've heard you say A, and then you were talking about B, and then I also heard you say something about C. So then I feed that back, and then I say, so what do you want to work on in this session, or what do you want to achieve in this session, so that they make a choice of what to work on. And then once we've started coaching and we've already agreed, then I'm just going to bring them back. Okay, so we're working on this. How does this relate?
Got it.
And so then, yeah, you need to lead because that's part of also confronting your client with a pattern, or which is part of supporting.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
How does that settle for you?
Yeah, that settles good. And the person I'm coaching tomorrow is also very similar. Also not easy for me to keep on track. He mm-hmm. easily ventures off on a number of different trails, constantly throughout. And so it's been really good practice for me to work with him because he's a very capable thinker. And probably more of a global thinker than Sean was last night. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's a good challenge.
Yeah.
Where are you at yourself in terms of global versus specific?
I easily see the big picture when, and I have to start with the big picture before I can get the detail to understand something.
Okay.
I'm not very good with detail. I know I miss appointments and I forget things easily. So I work off lists. My life is with post-it notes and lists, so I don't forget anything. And so I keep on track because I've got like 100 things going on in my head and I can very easily get distracted. But for me to understand when I'm working on a project, I have to see the big picture first. What's the purpose? Where does this link in with the rest of the business before I go into whatever my specific role is?
Okay. So once you have that, then it's easier for you to do details once you've got the big picture.
Yeah, and I understand what my purpose is and where I fit in with everything and everyone else.
Okay. And that seems to fit also with the questions that you asked. In the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned, well, I had this intention of, well, really defining a specific outcome. And so knowing that, the questions just came and they were specific questions about details.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know how to do details.
Yeah, I do. I understand the big picture, and I think that's what's missing for me. Like the axes of change, I didn't really understand, what was the concept behind it and where does this fit in, the whole process of the conversation. I mean, I look at the picture and I see, okay, yep. But I didn't really get, okay, when do I use this in the conversation? Where does this fit in the W? Does it come before or after, or as, do we do it as we go? And I think that bit is missing for me.
Okay.
Like so, I understand what a prober does and I understand what a provoker does and an awakener, but I didn't really understand, where does this fit into a conversation? How do you start this conversation? Is this different from WFO or is this part of WFO? Because I know that this is about creating transformation in a conversation, I think. And I think it's about helping people create change for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the axis of change and the well-formed outcome and the score model, for me, all of them, I've created like a visual where they are all integrated. So, and part of that, reaching PCMC level will also show you how I've done that, specifically with the first two axes of motivation and decision. So when my client has a desired state and they have a present state, then I want to create, about the desired state, I want to create this like sense of compellingness, like, wow, if I have that, that would be amazing. So that they actually are aware. And so that's the reason why you ask that why question in the well-formed outcome, is to start having that. And so that's why you don't just ask that why question once, but you layer that why question. So if you are able to keep your self-confidence at a level 7 or 8 when someone asks you about your price for a coaching program, why is that important to you? Okay, then I can start getting clients. Okay, and so starting to make clients or to get clients, why is that important to you? Well, then I can make a living out of this. Okay, and then making a living out of this, why would that be important to you? Well, then I'm living my purpose. Okay, so then keeping your self-confidence at a level 7 when someone asks you about your price will allow you to live your purpose. Yes. Okay. So do you want that? So then they kind of like, it becomes really intentional. So as I'm going down the well-formed outcome funnel, that's what I want to do. I want to start creating that excitement about where we're going together. And then also, I want to create a sense of awareness of where they've been. And in part by getting the strategy of, okay, so how are you doing this specifically and what goes on in the back of your mind and what do you say to yourself? Getting all of that information, I want to start asking kind of quality control questions around that. So how is this serving you? Do you want to do this for, if you do this for the next 5 years, what is it going to cost you? So I want to be able to, for my client to step back and kind of see the pain of it and feel the pain of it at the same time so that my client makes a decision, because without a decision, which is also part of the well-formed outcome questions, which is like pretty much at the end, without a decision, it's not going to happen. So I need that decision first. And that's where we get the agreement. So this is what we're going to be working on. Have you made the decision that you're going to do this? And so the reason why we go through the decision axes is because we want our client to, well, first be aware of what has held their situation in place, so that they can step back from, okay, this is what's kept it in place because I've wanted to protect myself, or because I have at one point started to believe that I'm not worthy of it. And so when I've created awareness around what's holding it in place, then it's much easier for them to make a decision. And so all of that happens as you go down the well-formed outcome funnel. And then obviously you want to co-create, which is in part you already do as you go down the well-formed outcome, but that the majority of that is when you are actually doing the coaching. That's when you start co-creating and then actualizing and taking action steps and doing the tasking. So, and then you only have one step left, which is the celebration and the testing. And that's something that you do at the end. So I'm testing. So has it worked? What we have done, has that worked? You celebrate. So if someone gets an awareness of, hey, so like with you, hey, I can actually already do details. That's part of an outcome that you want to reach. Then I can celebrate that because that really solidifies that skill.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it becomes a dance. And reaching PCMC level, that video where it kind of goes into that a little bit, and I will also send you the free call on Axis of Change.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
That'll help a lot. Okay, so does that help?
Yeah, that does. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. And so is there anything else that you would like to discuss today?
Yeah, it's on the marketing side.
Mm-hmm.
how do you, I'm still in a place where I feel that I'm not sure I can charge clients yet because I have not yet been certified. I mean, I'm aware that I'm a licensed meta coach, but I haven't gotten my 2.5 yet on all the criteria. Although, maybe not so much that, but perhaps more so that I don't feel that I've mastered WFO and know all my meta programs and mind lines and patterns. And so that's kind of, I think, held me back. And the third thing is I don't know, you know, how do I go about approaching clients? You know, I don't really know anyone. Do I just cold call businesses and tell them that I'm a coach and, you know, here are my details? Do I do a workshop maybe or a seminar on what is coaching and then hand out my business cards, like a free coaching seminar? Yeah, I'm just not sure how to go about it. I should, but I don't want because I don't feel confident enough that I can charge people yet. That's what has held me back.
Okay. So what I heard you say is that I don't know all of the well-formed outcome questions yet or all of the mind lines. And so it sounds like one of the things that I've learned is in terms of charging for the services that I offer is that it's about thinking in incremental steps. So while I may not, you know, when I had my ACMC, I wasn't PCMC level. So, you know, there's always like a next step where, oh, I'm not this yet or, oh, I'm not that. But it's not like you're at level zero. And so I think it really comes down to, maybe that also comes down to counting what you are able to do. Because if you discount everything, then it's really difficult to put a price on that.
Yeah.
So that might be something to look into. Like, okay, like what are the things that you already can do? Because it sounds, from what I've heard, it sounds like you, what you did the other day was really stick with the getting like more specific and sticking with those questions. So simply defining an outcome for clients can be transformational in itself. And so I would really start writing down, okay, what are the things that I already can do? And looking at that. And then seeing, okay, with all of that, what is it that I can offer? And how much am I then comfortable to charge? You know, it may not be $500 per hour or per session, but what am I comfortable to charge?
Okay.
Or what level do I want to be at? Do I want to be at a level 2.2, 2.3 when I start charging? Where do I want to be that would feel congruent?
Okay.
How does that fit for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's being certified. I mean, obviously, if I got certified, it means I'd be reaching 2.5 and I'd be a better coach. But for me right now, it's I'm not yet feeling that I can charge to coach. I like coaching. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I put a dollar figure on it, this expectation comes in the back of my mind that there is an expectation that I resolve something for them, that they walk away with a result or a transformation, and I worry about what if I don't get that for them? What if it was just a conversation and they're paying me $300 or $200 or whatever and I haven't got them an outcome? And that's my worry.
Okay.
If I was in their shoes, if I was paying someone, then I would want to walk away from that session feeling better in some way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So right now, you are not able to help someone get a result?
Not consistent. I mean,
okay.
If I look at some of my previous coaching practices, I've had two where I've been able to have an outcome for them and they've enjoyed it. But I've had other conversations where we haven't really, where I haven't felt like I've managed to resolve something for them, and, you know, they had a desire and we didn't get to something where, you know, where they knew how what to do or what they needed to do to get there.
Okay.
And
Go ahead.
I know I have a convincer strategy that's repetition.
Okay.
I don't know what the number is, but I am aware that I've got to do something a few times before I'm convinced that, okay, I can do this, I'm confident, and I know how, and I know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that might be something to figure out. How many times do you need to do that in order to be convinced?
Yeah.
Okay. And so one thing I'm also thinking that just came up for me is that I know of some coaches who basically say they basically sell on an outcome. So they charge a specific amount of money and they say, okay, if we don't reach it, in X amount of sessions, then I'm going to continue to work with you until you've reached your outcome.
Okay.
So that they, you're still charging for your time and your service because you are providing a service and you are, and just by having that conversation, you are providing something for them. And what I'm hearing is what you value is that you actually help someone get an outcome. And I'm guessing that you also want to start earning money from this.
Yes.
Right? And so
yes.
That might be a way to think about it is in offering, I am offering not like a specific amount of sessions, but I'm offering an outcome. And so we work in 8 sessions. If you haven't reached your outcome yet, then I will continue to work with you until you do.
Okay.
In which case you can also, you know, bring it to the table during the call, unsubscribe to change and kind of get feedback and learn from that?
Okay, yep.
So just see how that settles. It was just an idea.
No, I like that. I like when you say, well, do I want to be? You know, do I want 2.2? It doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be 2.5.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so that incremental thinking, because if you, like you said, you know, if you're really good at discounting, then and it has to be like all or nothing, and you only, you know, then it becomes really difficult to get started with that.
Yeah.
So and from what I'm hearing you say is that you want to get paid, you also want to reach an outcome. So those are two things that you want to be able to do at the same time,
yeah.
and which are values for you. And at the same time, your skill is not yet at the level where you can consistently perform, but you can perform because you've done it before. So you have
okay.
the ability, maybe not consistently.
But yeah, I have done it before.
Exactly. So maybe it'll take, you know, two sessions because one time it doesn't work and the other time it does work. But because that'll just practicing with that, you will eventually get a result, right?
Yeah.
So is that something that you can take away and work with?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Okay, great. And so that next question that you have about around the marketing and how do you go about it? So with that, it really helps to know who your client is, who you want to work with. And so with regards to that, it really depends on, you know, what are you passionate about? What problem do you want to solve? What field or market do you have an affinity with or experience in? So,
yeah.
And that comes down to really kind of making a choice. So I've decided to work with only coaches. And so that,
yeah.
And my main group is Meta Coaches. Eventually, I'm going to expand to other coaches as well. But that is also limited to coaches who are certified by the ICF. So they already have a certain level. So for me, I already know where I can find my coaches. And that really helps. Because if I don't know who I'm working with, I don't know what they look like, I'm not going to be able to find them. And when I do talk to someone, I'm not going to be able to let them know what I can do for them. And so knowing what problem you want to solve, and for me that was really, okay, most of my clients have in their conversations, they get stuck in their questions that they don't know what questions to ask next. They start looping around in circles, and so they get stuck and they feel self-conscious. And so that's where they're at in their coaching sessions. And what they want is to turn their coaching into into a rock solid business and they want to be able to consistently perform so that they build a reputation and they can charge a healthy amount. So I really know what my client's problem is and I know how I can solve that for them. And so that would be really something to kind of start looking into is what problem do you want to solve and for whom? Do you have a little bit of an idea of who you want to do that
for? Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to target oil and gas industry because that's where I'm originally from.
Okay.
And in oil and gas, particularly in countries as well as the Middle East, most of the main oil and gas companies are joint ventures. That is, they're partly 51% owned by the government. And all of those, just from my experience with Shell, those joint ventures meant that coaching was prominent in all of those companies because the government had a localization strategy. What that meant was, like, for example, in Brunei, their Bruneization strategy was to have 90%. So they want 90% locals and only 10% expats, as opposed to, you know, 51% locals and 49% expats. And that was prevalent in across all the joint ventures. And so expats were put in a position where they had to coach the local people to replace them over a four-year period because your contract as an expat is always 4 years or 2 years minimum, and then you're expected to move on to somewhere else. And it was written as part of their performance appraisals as well. So that made coaching pretty big for all of those organizations. And so that's why I wanted to, and my job in Shell was exactly that. It was to start a coaching program, create a coaching culture, teach coaches how to start coaching. And so we focus on the GROW model in Shell. We didn't do WFO or meta questions or anything like that. It was basically just GROW. And so I ran training programs for that. And then I helped with matching coaches to coachees, develop performance criteria for coaching so that it became part of Shell's Brunei's culture, etc. And that was then adopted in other countries. And so that's where I got my interest. And it helps that I worked for Shell because when I speak to people in oil and gas and say, oh, yeah, I spent some time in Shell working in Brunei, there's an immediate platform of, background of relatedness. And so you build rapport very easily. And so that's my mark. That's who I want to target.
Okay. Okay, so that sounds... So you have experience in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know the market. So it sounds like you already know your customer and you can already find them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and earlier you mentioned, well, I don't know anyone really.
Well, I know the companies, and for Shell, I know the people. But outside of Shell, I don't. I know the oil and gas companies where they are, but do I know any of them face-to-face? No, I don't. And so it's that cold calling, and I think I've got a frame around cold calling and prospecting. But I'm uncomfortable with, how do I approach a business and ask, about their coaching programs, and who do I ask for and, it's, I guess, because I'm dealing with ambiguity. I'm in a place where I haven't done this before. usually clients have always come to me because I've worked for corporate and I've never had to worry about trying to find clients.
Right. Yeah. So how about starting with Shell, since you already know them?
Yeah. I sent some LinkedIn messages to people I know in Shell who work in different areas now, one in Nigeria. I haven't been back yet, so I will follow up. I think when I send a message and I don't receive anything back, I think, what is that? Does that mean I try again, or does that mean, do I leave them alone until I get a response?
Okay, so and it might be that you, like, in the future, would like some coaching on this, but from my experience or my frame around this, it has to do with I am of service, and so that's my first thing. Like, when I contact people, is I want to know, how can I be of service? And that might be something free initially, and that might be enough for some people. But then if they have a real need, then I can connect what they need with something that I have to offer. And so I see it as my duty also to let people know about me. Because if they don't know about me, they don't know how I can serve them. And
yep.
So that's why I do follow up, because people are busy and people are not always aware that they have a need. But that's the way that I approach people is through, I know the major problem for coaches in terms of getting consistent results, and so that's what I speak to, and they can sign up for a free call, and if that's all that they're really looking for, then that's perfect, I'm happy with that. If they want something more, then we can talk about that, but that's the main thing for me is how can I be of service.
Okay. How can I be of service?
Yeah, so when I think of who I can contact, that's what I think of. Where are they at? What are they struggling with? And because you know Shell so well, it's perfect. You can just contact them, and you know really well what the struggles are, and especially because you have done those training programs and because you have set it up, you know their challenges. And now you have something, really valuable. You have the MethaCoach system.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts around that?
I feel a lot better changing that frame to how can I be of service, and that I am in service to them. That reframe it has made me feel very differently. It's like changed my state, and I don't feel uncomfortable anymore.
Okay, great.
That feels really good. I like that. I'm
going
to count that.
High five.
Yeah.
Very good. So when are you going to contact someone at Shell?
Tomorrow. I'm going to give a call tomorrow. I know quite a few people in Brunei now, because a lot of the Shell people have moved around to other oil and gas companies in Brunei.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to give them a call.
Very good. Exciting. Let me know how that goes.
I will. Definitely.
Okay. So do you have any other questions?
No, that was it. This has been really good. I feel so much better about WFO now and knowing the SCORE model. I want to study that a little bit more. I'm going to Google it so I can get the rest of the acronym. And,
okay.
And then integrate it into my WFO. And
yes.
Then try it out tomorrow morning with Abby. And
hopefully
I can get a few more coaching practices in.
High five. Well, let me know how everything goes, and I will send you the link to those free calls.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
And then I'm very curious how you get on with it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, Maureen.
Definitely.
Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure having one-on-one with you.
Yes. That's what you get in vacation time.
Oh, yeah. It's summer holidays now, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's been very quiet. So, but it's good. I like doing one-on-one.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
I bet.
Okay,
all right,
thank you again.
Have a wonderful evening.
I will.
And we'll speak to each other again soon.
Definitely. Okay, take care.
All right. Care. Bye, Maureen.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Subscribe to Change audio recording. With love and kindness, Femke Stute.